I'm Amy Eddings. Thanks for tuning in. It's WNYC's Financial 411, our take on the economic news of the day. On this last day of trading for the month of April, the dollar fell, gold rose, and the Dow Jones ended on a good note. Comments from the Federal Reserve this week indicate interest rates will stay low for some time to come, and that's pushing down the value of the dollar. Today, the dollar hit its lowest level since 2008 before bouncing back a bit. A weak dollar is a mixed bag economically, good for producers of products sold overseas. They're more affordable, but bad for consumers buying imported goods. They cost more. And as the dollar falls, the price of gold is soaring to record highs. Today, it topped more than $1,550 an ounce. Speculators have been driving up the price. They see precious metals like gold and silver as a hedge against inflation. After Caterpillar and other industrial companies reported strong earnings for the first 3 months of the year, the Dow finished up 47 points, closing at 12,811. For the month, it has increased 4%. The S&P gained 3 points to end at 1,364. The NASDAQ finished at 2,874, up a point. It's Friday, and as we often do, we will review the week's business and economic news now with Greg David, Director of the Business and Economics Reporting Program at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. Hi, Greg.
Hello, Amy.
Despite improving job numbers, the construction business is still pretty moribund here in the city. And this week, conflict broke out into the open between construction unions and builders, with the Regional Plan Association circulating a report saying that the expiration of 30 union contracts in June is a chance to reform the construction industry. First, what do builders want?
Builders want union labor to be less costly. Non-union labor now builds about 40% of all the buildings in New York, and the number's going to go north of that unless the unions find a way to be more competitive. Union labor costs about 20% more than non-union labor to build a project.
And I understand they also want arcane work rules, or what they say arcane work rules change.
There are two ways to get at this issue, one of which is wages and benefits, which are higher in the union era. But the other one is work rules. You know, cranes these days. There's a guy who comes to work to start the crane. He's called an oiler. He gets paid for the whole day. It takes him less than an hour. There has to be an electrician and a maintenance person on the crane, even though the crane is owned by another company and won't allow them to touch anything. Union workers get paid when they reach when they report to the site. Non-union workers get paid when they reach the job site, which, as you understand, on a high rise means when you get up the elevator. And the list goes on and on. So, you know, the unions could narrow this gap by getting rid of a lot of these work rules.
Of course, unions want to hold on to these wages and benefits they fought hard to have. We tend to forget that big builders and unions have had a pretty cozy relationship over the past decade. Is that relationship in danger?
Oh, yes. The head of the unions, there's an umbrella union organization, will not sit in the same room with the head of the builders.
This is recent?
Over the last couple of weeks. That's how tense things are. This is a crucial time for union leaders. The construction union leaders have to decide whether they want to preserve their wages and benefits and have fewer of their members working, or whether they want to narrow the gap and fight for market share with the non-union workforces. That's what's at stake in these talks. It's one of the most crucial union negotiations in New York in years.
One last question before I move on. With so many union contracts, some of these rules are mandated by the state. Is that so for the construction industry? I know it's so for things in the teachers' union contract,
for
example.
This is all a private sector negotiation. So we can – I mean, if they're safety rules, they apply to the non-union people. So it wouldn't make any difference.
Gotcha. Okay, from office buildings to residential ones, rent regulations are up for renewal in Albany later this spring. This week, Governor Cuomo said he will take a, quote, very aggressive position to extend and expand rent regulations, which cover nearly 1 million apartments in New York City. Can tenants of those apartments now breathe easy that Cuomo won't push for changes to the rent regulations?
Well, actually, everybody wants to know what the governor means by that, and he's not telling us. He seems to mean that he's on the tenant side, and one of the things he'll go after is, for example, luxury vacancy decontrol. I wonder if that's really true. Real estate interest raised an enormous money to fund this committee to save New York. I want to know what the governor means by that, and it's about time he should tell us, I think.
Greg David, director of the Business and Economics Reporting Program at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. Thanks for joining us on WNYC's Financial 411.
Thank you, Amy.
Get the 411 as a podcast. Go to WNYC.org. This is WNYC.